Good morning. It's nice to be back with you this morning, so soon. Some of you will say that that is a good thing. Some of you will say that is a bad thing. So let's see at the end. Let's just pray quickly before we get cracking today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that today we will see you as you are, as the Bible presents you, that we may understand our lives and your purposes for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I met Sarah, I was the business, okay? I'm telling you straight, I was the business. I was the most patient guy you'd ever meet. I never used to complain. I never used to get angry. I was humble as well, absolutely humble. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. But when I got married, I realized very, very quickly that I was prone to fits of frustration, particularly when we're late for somewhere. When I got married to Sarah and we were married some time, I realized just how impatient I really, really was and how prideful and lacking in humility I am. Why am I talking to you about this little short personal story? I did ask permission, by the way, so I'm not going to be in trouble. But this is the kind of context of Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 1 to 5, it's sort of like on the surface, just like with myself, the people of God thought that everything was going well. They thought that they had everything under control. They thought that they were worshiping God correctly, but actually, they needed God, someone out of themselves, to show them what they were really, really like. On the surface, the people of God, the tribe of Judah, God's chosen people, enjoyed a period of wealth and prosperity under King Uzziah, unlike they had seen since the days of Solomon. As we read chapters 1 to 5, all is not as it seems. They had this idea that things were going well, that they were following God, but chapters 1 to 5 reveals God's thoughts on the matter. Let's read Isaiah. If you'd like to read with me in Isaiah chapter 1, 1 to 4, to give us a bit of context, and then we're going to go into 6. It starts like this. The vision of the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the wickedness of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. You don't have to be a very deep reader of God's word for these verses to really hit home. The people of Judah thought that they were doing well, but actually, when God presented his case to them, they were estranged, they were a people laden with sin, they were a sinful nation, they had gone away from the Lord. So now we come to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Sometimes what we need in our lives, what we require in our lives, is a new vision, a fresh understanding of who God is, so that we can truly understand who we are, what we are, how we behave, and how we're acting. Isaiah 6, 1 to 4 says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Chapter 6, chapters 1 to 4, sorry, chapters 1 to 5, everything is not as it seems. The people are full of sin. Their hearts are far away from God. What do the people need? They need a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the vision that they see? What is the vision that Isaiah sees? John chapter 12, 41 says this: Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. When Isaiah was in the temple, what did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ lifted high and exalted, seraphim, angelic beings shouting to one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." What a picture we see. You see, sometimes in our lives, we go through the motions. We come to church, we do the right thing. Sometimes we read and we pray and we sing songs of worship to the Lord, but actually the reality of our situation, the reality of our lives is quite different. Sometimes we don't even realize it, that our hearts are far away from the Lord, yet we are carrying on like the people of Judah, doing the same things and thinking and believing foolishly that we are okay. What do we need in our lives? What does God's word suggest and take us to? A fresh vision of who the Lord Jesus is. So let's explore a little bit before we continue as to who the Lord Jesus is. Isaiah sees him as high and lifted up. Someone above his creation, above his creature, someone who has the right and the authority to tell us who we are, what we are, to examine our thoughts and our emotions, and to judge us accurately and rightly. In my little example in the beginning, I thought in my own opinion I was this. I thought in my own opinion I was this. Until someone out of my experience told me, "You are actually like this." What did the people of God need? They needed a fresh vision of who the Lord Jesus is to show them who they actually are. The Lord, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple, the one who can accurately tell us who we are, who can examine the thoughts of our hearts, our feelings, our emotions, and accurately diagnose our condition. The Lord, high and lifted up. If he is such a Lord, and if he is so high and lifted up and worthy to judge, the only response to him is, "Holy, holy is the Lord." The phrase, "Holy, holy is the Lord," is a superlative exclamation. For those of you who don't know, I teach English for a living. And is a superlative exclamation, and it is the best that you can get and some. It's a good way of remembering it. The best that you can get and some. God high and lifted up, the Lord Jesus high and lifted up, is described as this: "Holy, holy is the Lord." The best and some. Incomparable, unimaginable perfection. This is what Isaiah saw. This is what Isaiah was presented with. Hearts far away, thinking more of themselves, or understanding themselves, or thinking about themselves in a way that God doesn't think. They are presented with him. "Holy, holy is the Lord." A holy God stands in front of Isaiah. What a picture. Now you have to ask yourself this question. A holy God standing in front of Isaiah, a God who, when we see him, we actually realize who we are, our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, where we are. What is Isaiah's response? It says it here in verse 5. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." When we are presented with a picture of who the Lord is, we quickly realize, snap to our senses, and come to a very certain understanding of who we are. Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me, I am lost." Do we think about that in our own lives when we think about the Lord Jesus, when we gather here Sunday after Sunday, when we're in our devotionals and our quiet times? Do we see the Lord as he is? Unimaginable, incomparable perfection. Holy, holy, holy. Not just this is what God is like, but who he actually is. The angelic being, the seraphim, a sinless creature, had to cover their eyes and look like this because of God's holiness. What about us? When we stand before the Lord, what about our hearts? Do we echo the cry with Isaiah and say, "Woe is me, for I am lost, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips"? As I told you before, I teach English, and in the staff room, we gather together with teachers of other subjects, and I usually have a few conversations with the psychology teacher. And the psychology teacher is very, very interesting because they're all about human behavior and thoughts and emotions. And they're all about saying to, you know, we should speak positively. We should always have a positive image of ourselves. And I find that a little bit of a problem. I didn't say it to her because I'd get a response that would make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But the truth of the matter is that when we come to God's word and we see him as he is, as the Bible presents him, high and lifted up, worthy to judge and to assess where we are when our hearts are far away from him, the only response, the fitting response is, "Lord, I am lost. Lord, I am undone. Lord, all the people around me are the same as me. In short, Lord, I am a sinner." Now, that's not popular today, if we're honest. One of my pastimes, please listen to the whole thing, because I've had a few people come at me and say, you do this. One of the pastimes I like is visiting bookshops. That's not too bad. But the first section I go to in a bookshop is the self-help section. I told you to listen to the end. The self-help section, because I like to see what people are interested in, what is getting their minds turning, and what they are believing today other than what the Bible says. And one of the things in the self-help section is to say, to speak positively about yourself, to have a winning mentality. Say good things to yourself. "You're okay, I'm okay." That's actually a title of one of the books. "You're okay, I'm okay." Quite contrary to the understanding that we should have of ourselves in Isaiah chapter 6. How can we understand ourselves if we do not have a fresh vision of who the Lord Jesus Christ is? If we do not have that vision, we become like the people of Judah in chapters 1 to 5, who, thinking they were doing the right things, the right festivals, they were sacrificing to the Lord, yet their heart was far away from the Lord. Is our cry today, "Woe is me, for I am lost, I am a sinner"? If it is not, then there is a problem. And we need to search our hearts. I need to search my heart. A problem that I genuinely have is I move away very, very quickly from who God says he is. My heart moves far away from him, and I start believing the hype that I'm actually better than I am. But actually, when I stand before God, I am nothing. But his holiness is everything. What is our response today when we see the Lord as he is presented in Scripture? Is it, "Woe, I am lost"? A very, very important point to note regarding Isaiah's confession is when we look at passages like this, we sometimes think, "Oh, God is a little bit harsh. God is a little bit severe. How can I communicate or relate to a God who is so perfect, who is so wonderful?" But the great thing about Isaiah's confession is it all started with God. God was the one who appeared to Isaiah. Isaiah didn't go searching for God and say, oh Lord, I need to find you. It was the opposite. The Lord appeared to Isaiah. What kind of God are we serving here? Are we serving a holy, perfect, unimaginable, incomparable being who does not understand us, who does not acknowledge our weakness? Or are we serving a gracious and holy God? I would say before you today that because God was gracious, we are serving a gracious and holy God because God chose to appear to Isaiah. I love Isaiah's confession because when he sees the Lord, he stands like this. He probably wouldn't look up because God is so holy, so he stands like this. He is paused. He cannot move. He is caught in the crosshairs. He is presented with the holy God, and he cannot move. And before he says anything, a gracious God sends the angel to get a coal from the altar to put it on his lips. Lips signifies his heart, the inward character of a person. God provides a way for Isaiah to relate to himself. I appeal to you this morning that the God that we're seeing here revealed is holy, is perfect. And when we stand before him, nothing that we do or think or say, nothing that anyone else tells us is worthy to stand in his presence. The only response is, I am lost. Yet, there is hope. Because the same holy God is gracious enough to provide a way for us to stand in his presence. The same gracious God provides a way for us to stand in his presence. This is the theme and the burden of Isaiah's message. And Isaiah is to take this message that a holy and gracious God wants to reveal himself to a people, wants to show us clearly that we are a sinful people in need of a rescue, in need of a relationship with this God. This is the theme and the burden of Isaiah's message. Isaiah verse 8 says this, "Now that you have the message, Isaiah, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and they blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." This was the message that Isaiah had to take out. And God is telling Isaiah, when you take this message out, when you present a holy God, a gracious and holy God in front of the people, they will not hear your words. When you present this God as he is to the people, they will not hear his words. For the people of Judah, this was very accurate. As you read through Isaiah, you realize that Isaiah did this faithfully. He took this message, he took this kind of God to show the people who they were, and they rejected him. They rejected this message. The only result, or the inevitable result, was that the people of God went in, experienced the judgment of God and were taken away from the Holy Land. But what about us today? Where do we fit in the Isaiah story? It is all doom and gloom, it seems, today. But let's just end off and read verse 13. "And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains, then it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." At the end of Isaiah's, at the end of chapter 6, verse 13, there is this talk of a holy seed. Now, as I said to you, for the people of Judah, they did not hear the message. But God promised at the end of the chapter, a holy seed will remain, a stump will remain. Who is this holy seed? What is being spoken of here? None other than the Lord Jesus high and lifted up, holy, the provision and atonement and the rescue for our sin today. Fortunately for us, we do not sit like the people of Judah in Isaiah 6, but we have already experienced, and we know from our Easter celebrations and services, that the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, high and lifted up, has made a way for us to experience a relationship with a perfect and holy God through his death and his resurrection. So what? What about us today? What do we take from this? What is our takeaway from this? Two woes. Two woes I'd like you to take away and to think about in your devotional times. The first woe is this. In our life, when our heart is far away, when the passion for the Lord has grown cold, do we return to his word, and do we see clearly who the Lord is, and do we say, woe, I am lost? Does that woe then drive you back to the Lord Jesus Christ, back to the gracious and holy God? The second woe, woe, I have a Savior who has made a way for me, a gracious and holy God. Two things to leave you with this morning as we end off our passage in Isaiah. Woe, before a holy God I am lost and unworthy. Woe, I have a Savior. Let's pray together.